I think from the beginning, it was never just one person. And I think we managed to bring some really great people on this journey with us from the very, very, very early days. And then I think we were fortunate enough to find a meaningful purpose.
Hey, welcome back to the show. And today I've got a veteran of a business owner who has been running things for a long time. We're going to dive into this. Oren, will you please tell us who you are and what kind of problems do you solve with your business?
Sure. My name is Oren Klopper. I fill the CEO role at NetShirt and have done for a long time. The problems that are consuming me and I'm trying to solve are the rapid growth. And whilst going on this really accelerated growth journey, how do we protect the people-centric culture that we have? And how do we protect the quality of what we're doing for our customers? And not only protect, but really amplify it, leveraging those economies of scale. So those are some of the things I'm thinking about.
Well, those are great things to think about because, you know, let's be honest, a lot of people never are going to run a business more than 2 years, let alone 20. How many years have you been running your business?
Yeah, it's close to 25 years now.
Woo! That is awesome. And to do that by the time you're 40 years old is amazing. And so this is going to be a really fun interview to figure out how you did that.
So, no, for sure. And just to clarify, I'm 48, but if that was a compliment, I'll take it.
It was a compliment. By the way, I'm the same age. So
you got less gray hair Oren, than I do, that's for sure.
I just keep shaving it off. I'm really gray from here down. But anyway, we digress. So, Oren, talk to us about this business because, you know, the concerns that you just brought up are concerns that a lot of newer business founders don't think about, but they're hugely important as you're in a growth and scaling mode. How is your business different now with the concerns you're talking about versus when you started? And what kind of things got you to where you're at? I mean, how do you build a sustainable business that will continue to grow and modify and tweak and modify and tweak and build and grow the way you have over the years?
Yeah, so when I look at when we kind of arrived at a semblance of our purpose, it was during 1999, leading up to Y2K. And I just felt this sense of deep meaning that there's this entrepreneurial part of the economy, which is kind of small to medium-sized businesses, that could benefit hugely from a good technology services partner. And that's where we arrived at our focus and really the sort of customer dynamic of our purpose. And I remember thinking, so I was at university in 94, a friend of mine invited me to come and sell computers and engineering calculators for him in 95. And then I remember when I really sort of said I'd do this full time, there was the guy who came first in my information systems class who said he wanted to join us. And there were suddenly a couple of people that were keen to join us. And I can remember thinking, this is amazing, but I didn't understand why. And we were paying big salaries or anything. So it was just interesting and exciting time. And so I think really early on, you know, kind of why have we grown and why have we achieved some level of success is, I think from the beginning, it was never just one person. And I think we managed to bring some really great people on this journey with us from the very, very, very early days.
I love that.
And then I think we were fortunate enough to find a meaningful purpose in the early days of the business. So those are two big pieces that I think, and then probably the piece that I think has kept us on track. And some years we've had tough years, and other years it feels like the wind's at our back, and that's the journey of being an entrepreneur.
Right.
I think in 2001 we raised some debt to fund our growth, And I realized yeah. I've never really had a job. And suddenly we had what at the time seemed like a ridiculously huge amount of money. And I said, I need to go and study something so that, you know, that I can kind of not just wing this. I signed up to do an MBA, which I never finished. But I got quite far and I was able to do all the modules and the assignments on our business. And right. out of that, I took a simple and nice strategic planning process. So we've run that every year for probably, you know, almost 20 years now. And it makes us look in the mirror hard and like where we at, what's working, what's not working. So those would probably be some of the things that I think of. Have enabled us to grow and thrive.
Oren, this is really, really funny. I promise to my audience, I did not give the script to Oren of what to say here, because honestly, like I've said this probably a million times, Oren, it's always people, it's always processes, and it's always tools. And those are the first three things you brought up. I mean, people, processes, tools are the things that you have to keep in mind in order to effectively grow and scale. You got to have the right people on the bus. You got to have the tools to measure and to build and grow and keep things aligned. And then you've got to have, you know, this process or this vision that aligns all the teams so that you do know where you're going and you stay accustomed to what everyone's really building towards. Is that a fair summary of what you just talked about up to this point?
No, it definitely resonates, and I think it's a simpler way of articulating it.
I love it. No, listen, it's funny to me when people like you, who have been operating the same environment, same ecosystem this whole time, in the 20 plus years you've been in business, I find that. You guys really understand, A, you really understand your clients. You really understand how your team operates. You really understand what you're good at. And that's why you've been able to maintain a steady pace of growth. Now, I find it interesting, though, that in the first part of the conversation, you talked about one of the big challenges you're facing is how to deal with rapid growth that you're involved in right now. Now, your industry, when I think of IT security and the many facets of security. Walk us through why you're seeing rapid growth right now when it's a way different environment than Y2K.
Yeah,
in today's world. How are you doing that?
Look, it's through we're trying very hard to succeed at the organic growth. I mean, we've probably got like low double digit organic growth across the business. It's unbelievably competitive. Over 20,000 MSPs, which is an acronym for the type of company we are, MSPs in the United States alone. And so everybody says they can look after your IT or they can look after your security. So it's very hard to differentiate yourself. And so that's where we really invested heavily in differentiating what we call one our blue ocean offering, where we looked at, okay, so they expect you to do a good job of the managed services. They expect you to do a good job of the managed security. That's just table stakes. But to really differentiate, we realized we had to come up with something different. And we saw in our ideal customer profile being 1,000 to 25 user environments, they're using Office 365 as the technology stack predominantly, and that's kind of our core skill set and what we focus on. And then Microsoft's Power Platform technology stack has quite a lot of automation tools in it. So we said to our customers, for $2,000 a month, we will provide an innovation managed service where we'll find $24,000 worth of ROI in a 12-month period, or we carry on working until we do. And that is really, I think, Todd has helped us get in front of new customers, and it's bringing another level of value. You know, our purpose is supporting the dreams of the doers, and in the customer context, it's like we want to add real value to our customers' business. So this offering is just over 2 years old now. Like any new offering, it wasn't a slam dunk straight away. we went to do.
You sure thought it would be though, didn't you?
Yeah. Jeez, you know, I mean, to be honest, you know, like you talk about the dynamic of surrounding yourself with the right people. I'm a good starter. Right. I'm not a great finisher. And like I can tell you now, if I'd my impatience with this offering, yeah, it's a whole nother conversation. But I just assume it's like, this is amazing. It should just fly. The customer right. should love it. Our people should sell it like flipping donuts on a Friday. Right. But it's been heavy lifting.
Running a business, honestly, can leave a lot of founders and operators feeling lonely and isolated. If you have ever felt that way, trust me, I know what it feels like. And there is something you can do about it. You've heard a lot of our guests talk about the fact that being lonely and isolated is one of their biggest challenges in trying to run and scale their business. CaptainsCouncil.com. Go to CaptainsCouncil.com right now and see what we're doing to resolve this problem. We want you to be a strong operator who has solutions and has a way to get around the challenges you're currently facing. What most founders don't understand is that you're not alone. The challenges that you're facing, likely somebody else has already overcome, and they can give you the feedback you need to overcome them. Who better than your peers, other founders, other operators who are joining with you in a small group setting, a global community setting, as well as at our in-person events, to guide you through these challenges that you're facing right now. Don't give up, keep on pushing, but do it with some good advice from your peers. Go check it out at captainscouncil.com and let me know what you think about the offering. We can't wait to see you there. That's funny. No, it's so true, right? I mean, every business assumes that what they're developing right now is gonna be the best solution ever for their avatar.
Yes.
And
yes.
yet we usually miss it by a mile.
Yeah.
But the people that find success are the ones that could see that differential and tighten it up.
Yeah. No, you know, I actually read a book called The Human Element by Laurent Norgren and David Schoenthal. And these guys have actually gone in and understood the science and maths of changing human behavior within an organization. So we actually reached out to them. They're both professors at one of the top Ivy League universities. I can't remember the name offhand, but it's a whole field around how do you drive change within a business. You know, like even when I look at when we initially implemented the balanced scorecard, which is like an OKR type methodology, we implemented that years ago. It was heavy lifting and change. You just thought, wow, it's really clear how you're going to have your performance measures.
Right.
Isn't that a great thing? And it's that change management as you grow in headcount is definitely, it's more complex and it's a lot harder than I'd hoped or estimated.
Right. I definitely agree with you. And having been through those growth motions myself, I know that the larger it gets, there are some nuances that if you don't nail down early, it makes it more and more difficult to adapt later on as you grow. But if you can nail them early by listening to people like you or communities or peer groups or what have you, those types of connections tend to help you shortcut the path to learning what you need to know in order to grow and scale. Can you speak to that for a minute? Because I know you've been really involved in some peer groups and things like that. How has that affected your ability to manage your growth?
So I can't even imagine my life without that. And it's not even just the business perspective, just like the personal side as well. And so I joined Entrepreneurs Organization as early as 2003. And then I joined YPO, I think it was 2010 or 2011. I can't remember exactly. And both of those organizations, Todd, have just been unbelievable in supporting my growth. You know, EO have this amazing, well, both EO and YPO have this amazing thing called Forum where you meet once a month in that group of, it can be anywhere from 6 to 8 other entrepreneurs. And you get to know each other really, really well. You can present a topic, and then there is a methodology of them giving feedback, which is called Gestalt, which is the idea of sharing feedback from experience and not just like giving advice. Man, I could literally wax on lyrically for hours and long lists on what these peer groups have done for me in my life. You know, when we bought the first business we bought in the US, we bought in Brooklyn in 2016. So I just moved to New York in 2016. I had friends, but I had no family. I really didn't have a network. And I joined the New York chapter of EO. I joined the Manhattan chapter of WAPIO. So I instantly had this community of people that were connected, that cared, that supported me. I mean, yeah, you know, I couldn't. And there are a few of them. There's Vistage. There are all these types of peer support groups, which are just a wealth of learning and support and knowledge and experience sharing.
I love it. Love it. And how, you know, given that scenario, you know, a lot of people, I can remember being a much younger entrepreneur and looking around, and I was always scared to share what I was doing with other people because I was always scared people were going to take my idea and go compete with me. Like, I don't know what was just playing in my head all the time. You know what I mean? And what you learn through these peer advisory groups is what? Like, what would you combat that argument with?
So, yeah, look, I think in the way that both the WAPIO and EO forums are constructed is that you're purposely not put in a forum with anybody that you directly compete with or is actually directly in your industry, unless you agree to that and that's something you actually choose. So that's the one perspective. And then, look, the trust dynamic is just, you know, the rules of EO and WAPIO, and that is if you breach confidentiality, you in all likelihood you get kicked out. Yeah. You're seen to do that even if you try and sell your services to the rest of the community, that it's really frowned upon. If you have a discussion and someone asks you, that's a different thing. But if you're seen to solicit, that's also really, really frowned upon. And I think just in general, where I gravitated towards, and I think it's from my EO and WAPIO experiences, I got to know as many of my competitors as I could. And I would share very openly with them, you know, and it has actually ended up being, you know, so a key part, one of the big parts of our growth is acquisitive growth. So when I meet with these opportunities, I share totally openly. And who knows, maybe it goes nowhere. Yeah. I'm thinking, like, if there's something that I've done where I've made a mistake and they can learn from that experience, that's just going to raise the water level of our community. And in the same sense, like we're maybe like over 300 people, and I might have a meeting with a 10 person MSP. I always learn from these guys.
Yeah.
Always learn.
Isn't that funny?
Them. Yeah.
Cause they're innovating, trying to get their feet in the door. And you're coming from a place of experience thinking, huh, that's a great way to look at it.
No, for sure. And I think even if you look at the MSP industry, something that they've done so unbelievably well, and actually the initial guy that did it is a guy called Arlen Sorensen. I remember meeting him for the first time. I think it was back in 2004. I think it was at an SMB Nation conference in Seattle. He started these peer groups for other MSPs. So you do exactly the same as them. And you get together and you just share. So most MSPs in the MSP industry in the US are, I don't know if it's more than 50%, but like a whole lot are in peer groups where they're with other people that do exactly what they do, but they're like sharing these dynamics and tips and tricks. And so I love that.
I think it's awesome. I think that your testimony of that thing in and of itself is such a huge value add for people listening to this podcast, because I think a lot of people are like I used to be, where you feel like I can't really share that because it's kind of like in my secret sauce. But the reality is, even when sharing ideas with other operators who are in your industry, you find that chances are they're already head they're already underwater trying to figure out their own problems, let alone, hey, they're doing this. Let's change everything we're doing to copy them. It's not likely going to happen. In fact, even if they did have your playbook, they're not going to execute it the same way that you do.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I just think what you said is an awesome, awesome advocation for looking outside yourself for advice, talking to people who have been there, done that, or, you know, to be honest, let's face it, most consultants are, have been, and who has ever operated in an environment like we're dealing with today?
Yeah.
I mean, think of our operating environment today versus pre-COVID. It's a whole different world. Anyone that exited and is going to tell you how to run your business today really doesn't understand what we've just gone through in the last 5 years of business. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. No, it has. It's definitely been the craziest since 20. It started for me late 2019, and we're almost at the end of 2023 now. And it's been wild. It's been wild. It's crazy. Jeez. I even look at this year. It's like, no, it's yeah. And I think 2019, as we're going into the end of 2019, looking to 2020. We were staring down the tunnel and there was a Mack truck coming at us. Like we had the worst, because we started our strat planning, we had the worst organic growth we'd had in, I think it was like 8 years. We had our two biggest customers had told us we're going to lose them, not for service. One was going to insource and the other was doing a global outsource. And then the pandemic was rearing its head. And you know, the how decisive and aggressive we were with confronting that has led to the transformation we've gone through. And it's a big part of why we're growing so fast.
And it sounds like the net result of that Mack truck hitting you or approaching you was the formation of a new product type. Is that where you went with that?
Yeah. So that was one of the outcomes. One of the outcomes was a totally new offering. And the other was just really realizing where do we need, the whole question around execution and strategy that this friend of mine that I actually, another story how I met him, but he said to me, Aaron, strategy is you got to ask yourself a couple of questions. Are you going to make it someone's day job and are you going to fund it? So we really asked that question. Right. So we literally, through the cost cutting we did, Todd, we increased our marketing budget 5 times. And then we also leaned into acquisitive growth. So we retained a buy side advisory firm. We freed up some of my time to focus on that. And then we've just continued to double down on that investment. So
love it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love it. I love hearing about stuff like this. And I love the energy you're still bringing to a business that you've been really operating since university, which is not very common. Like I said, it's really cool. And I'm proud to say that a business I started in, the same time era in, 98, 99 is still in business today. I drive past it all the time. I exited it in 2010, but
it's amazing.
It is a great accomplishment to see those early businesses still cranking away and providing services that people find valuable. Very cool.
No, and I think sometimes about like what were some of the things that drove my what was in my heart, and what was this excitement, and it was definitely look I was a martyr of an entrepreneur as far as I look at how I paid myself until my daughter was born. I think I've shifted in I've definitely I've looked after myself better, let's put it that way. But it was always for me,
I get it.
Todd, it was about building something. It was like something that had a life of its own. And that was always kind of what felt so meaningful. And then out of that came the difference we could make in people's lives through the aspirations of our culture. And then the impact we could have on our customers' lives. So that layer of meaning came with it.
I love it. So now that's great for you personally. Now, the last topic I want to touch on in this interview is that alignment, because nobody grows and scales the way that you have, and no one adapts to the Mack truck coming down that tunnel without having a good alignment of your teams, your people, and your organization. You sound to be very centered and have kind of refocused yourself on, I got to take care of myself. I got a family now. I got to take care of the family. How do you align the whole organization in a way that they're finding that balance and that they're finding the excitement that you still have over new offerings and new parts of your business?
Yeah, that's such a great question. So I think the first thing is the overarching purpose is something I think anybody that joins NetShirt or is considering joining NetShirt, they need to feel connected to that. So supporting the dreams of the doers. Right. And the way we live that in our culture is through our Dreams program. So when I look at the epicenter of supporting the dreams of the doers, it's actually our people first, because we want to create a safe place in our culture where you can think about and focus on what you really want in your life. Okay. Right, and that's right. The initial piece. The next concentric piece around that is through engaging in the Dreams program, you can support other people in the business in achieving what they really want in their life.
Right.
Could be just listening. It could be sharing an experience or whatever it might be. So and sometimes through the Dreams program and people rethinking what they want in their lives, they end up moving on, and that's okay, because you want to ask yourself those questions: Is this really what I want to do? Am I enjoying it? Is it bringing out my talents and gifts? You know, so that's the thing, and then. So that's kind of the softer culture piece. And then from a performance measurement perspective, we use the Balanced Scorecard as a sort of performance measurement tool. And what we found, Todd, is A players like to have clarity on what success and what great looks like. And that's what we leverage the Balanced Scorecard for. So we do the full strategic planning, and then we end strategic planning with the ensuring that those goals and strategies and objectives ripple into the Balanced Scorecard so that we're all aligned and that we aim towards the same thing. And then we're very open in how we involve people in strategic planning. So we leverage Covey's four disciplines of execution, focus on the wildly important, break them down into bite-sized chunks, accountability, and dashboarding. And we're very transparent in how we're doing. We share financials transparently. We share balanced scorecard results transparently. Because we realized this, that the rapid growth can only really happen with decentralized thinking. And if without sharing openly, 100%. We haven't found that can give people the information they need to make the right decisions.
Right. No, that's fantastic. Honestly, I think that this is some great advice. For those of you listening, you have to find these metrics that you can measure. You have to have these points at which you are rededicating your team and refocusing and being transparent with them. A lot of companies never share their financials. They never talk about the journey going on behind the scenes. I personally have found that in every organization I've had, at least in the last 10, 15 years, I've been very clear to my team. Hey, this is where we're at. We're barely doing this thing right. How do we make this spread higher? And how do you want to be incentivized if we can make that spread higher? Yes. And I tell you what, Oren, when an organization leader is willing to do that with their team, they see the value in being more efficient with their time. They see more value in not hiring just to hire, but to make sure they're bringing the right people in, right? Is that kind of what you're seeing in your organization?
No, that resonates deeply. That hiring decision is so important. And then the culture fit, you know, because you can have all the skills and talents, but the culture fit is also, you know, that's critical. I think it was Jack Welch. I still love his stuff, where he kind of says you can have an A player that's not a fit, and it's more toxic than a B player that's not a fit, or a C player that's not a fit. So, no, I couldn't agree with your sentiment more.
I love it. Well, Oren, this has been a really, really fun conversation. I do believe we could probably go on for another hour, but we're not going to. So, Before we wrap up this conversation, I just want to thank you for all the time you've committed to this and being willing to come back on. We had a tech issue the first time we recorded. Yeah. So glad we made it back.
Yes.
I'm so glad we made it back. And I just want to ask you, you know, that you've talked a little bit about your peers. You've talked about some people in your partners and things like that. If you were to take a step back and say, you know what, this would have been really hard without this person to lean on, who would that person be? And let's give a little quick shout out to that person as they've helped influence you and your business.
Sure. I immediately gravitate to Brian Cooper in my team. And this, I mean, I love giving thanks. Gratitude, but there's a long list of people, but Brian has just been an absolute rock in my life.
Love it.
You know, and we have, I mean, I met Brian in 94 at university, and he's That's just awesome. Been an absolute rock in my life. And I can tell you now, we could not, like I would not cope with the growth that we're going through if I didn't have Brian by my side. And there are many other people that are playing critical roles in that, but if I were to single out one now, it would definitely be Brian Cooper.
That's awesome.
He's a legend.
Awesome. I love it. Brian, thank you for doing what you do. And Oren, I appreciate your time today. For those listening, if you really want to know what it looks like to build and grow a thriving organization, take a look at what they've done. We got links to their website, links to Oren's LinkedIn profile. Take a look at the content he's spitting out. Take a look at the stuff he's telling people and helping people understand about running a business, because huge value there. Oren, thanks again.
Yeah, thank you, Todd. What a great conversation. I love your energy, and I love that you ended with gratitude. Awesome.
Thank you. And for the rest of you, can't wait to catch you on the next episode, but take some time. Leave some questions for Oren down below, and we'll catch up with you later. Hey, what did you think of that interview? I loved it. I think this guy's amazing. Honestly, you know, the stages of growth that he's gone through and the things that he's done to grow his business, I think are fascinating, and I think they're adaptable by many of you listening to the show. If you are in that first growth stage, second, third, or fourth growth stage, this topic was relevant. Find people who you can trust to help you. Find a peer group. Find people who are aligned with you, even in your industry, who might be able to collaborate with you and help you do things a different way. There are so many more people willing to help and talk than you think, but many of you are scared to reach out and do that. So my advice, find an easy place like captainscouncil.com. Captainscouncil.com is a group where you can come and become part of an advisory board of other CEOs and founders just like you, who are struggling with the same market conditions at the same time you are, and making decisions that are affecting their business right now, today, in this environment. These are not the has-beens who have been there, done that, and have been out of their business for 20 years trying to tell you what to do. These are the guys who are here right now saying, look, I'm dealing with this thing. This is what I would do. Oh my goodness, you're dealing with that? Let me help you with this. Try talking to this group. Try this software. Try this tool. We all need it. And as a CEO and an operator, I know that I need it. I am part of a council myself. And I love the camaraderie. I love the collaboration. And I love the feedback I get from my team. And I hope you're finding a place to get that for yourself. Follow Oren's lead. You need to have this team of support around you. When you do, your growth, your mindset, the way you think about your business can be adapted on a regular, continual basis. And I think that is the secret to Oren's success. So let's keep it moving and come back for another episode of the Growth and Scaling Podcast. Make sure you subscribed if you haven't already. And go check out captainscouncil.com. You know you need it. Go spoil yourself with it. We'll talk to you then.